Oil execs are set to get grilled in Washington.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Putnam Investments, focused on finding opportunities one stock at a time on the web at putnam.com/largecapequity.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The price of oil down today to $97 a barrel. The world's biggest commodity has been tanking because of lower demand in the United States. Meantime, the CEOs of America's largest oil companies will face tough questions from the Senate Finance Committee today. Marketplace's David Gura is live in Washington with the latest. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
So why are these executives testifying?
Well, the cost of oil has gone up, and that's because of new demand from emerging markets like China and India, and on top of that, turmoil in North Africa and the Middle East. Senators want to know what could bring down the price of gas, and some of them want Congress to reconsider the tax breaks these companies get, especially after another year of record profits.
All right, well, the record profits, that's the thing. That seems to be where all this tension is coming from, right?
Yeah, critics say these companies would be just fine without those tax breaks, that politicians are trying to cut the deficit, and the U.S. just can't afford them. I talked to Julian Lee, an analyst with the Center for Global Energy Studies. He says the CEOs will argue this is not about their bottom line.
It's about making operations in the United States competitive with operations that those same companies could undertake in West Africa or in the Caspian Sea or Brazil or anywhere else in the world.
And the hearing's scheduled to start in about 3 hours. We'll wait and see.
All right. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you.
China's biggest search engine, Baidu, has been ordered to pay $85,000 to a literary website because of copyright infringement. The Chinese press is touting it as a landmark case, but as Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, Baidu and a host of other Chinese internet sites continue to provide stolen copyrighted material from U.S. companies.
It's the dirty little secret for Chinese websites that are publicly traded in the U.S. On one hand, they're receiving a lot of money from American investors. On the other, they're stealing a lot of revenue from American entertainment companies. Exhibit A.
We want our money now!
A pirated version of the action movie The Expendables on Youku, China's largest online video site. And guess what you have to sit through before you see the movie? A commercial in Chinese for Kentucky Fried Chicken, an American company trying to make ad revenue off of another American company's stolen intellectual property. It's not clear if KFC knows its ads on Youku are being paired with pirated content, but marketing expert Paul French says Americans should start questioning why they're investing in these Chinese sites.
You should care about it because it's your intellectual property that's being stolen. This is Hollywood. These are large, large employers of Americans.
Youku says it's too difficult to police the content uploaded by its users. But it's funny, says French. All these Chinese sites are adept at removing any trace of politically sensitive topics, like the Dalai Lama, within minutes. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets around the world are mostly lower at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 130 points to close at 12,630.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
We'll get April retail sales numbers later this morning. Macy's already reported its sales were up in the last 3 months. The retail sector, of course, is recovering like others after the beating it took during the economic downturn, a time when people like journalist Caitlin Kelly were taking second jobs at shops and department stores to make ends meet. Kelly has written a memoir about her experience working in retail, and she's with us now to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Like many during the economic downturn, you were laid off, and you took this job in retail at this upscale outdoor apparel store, the North Face.
I had been freelancing for the New York Times. Things were going fairly well, but the recession hit journalism much earlier than it hit some other industries. I'd never worked retail. I was 50, and I thought, you know, I just need some part-time income.
You spent some time on the book about the disparity between what the industry takes in and what workers make in wages and benefits. Do those numbers jibe?
The disparity is quite extraordinary. The median wage is sort of between $8 and $9 an hour. When I was at the North Face in January of 2009, my manager, as many did in retail around that time, said, "We're going to have to cut your hours. The company just can't afford all those labor costs." And at that time, the parent company sat on $382 million in cash. The disparity to me was somewhat striking.
I want to talk to you about one line that you had in your book about toggling between the working class and the chattering class. What do you mean by that?
I saw my coworkers struggling. So they were taking civil service exams, for example, to become a court officer or a police officer, you know, a good solid $50,000 with a pension. And my friends in journalism making, you know, six figures plus, you know, winning prizes, writing books. And I sort of wanted to put them in a room together and say, you guys should have a conversation about what work really means.
There were so many people, educated people like yourself, who were laid off and are under or were underemployed. Is that what this book is about?
I think we're at a point that many people, regardless of their terrific educations and credentials, are just saying, I have to feed my kids. I have to put gas in the car. So I think in this economy, employers do have an extraordinary labor pool, but the challenge is managing them well.
Caitlin Kelly, journalist and author of Mauled. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And finally, we've heard all about Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff's lavish lifestyle. What he didn't spend, apparently, a whole lot of money on was wine and spirits. U.S. Marshals are planning to sell off Madoff's wine collection. One auctioneer tells Bloomberg, judging by his stash, Madoff was not the wine connoisseur. And a lot of the liquor he owned? Well, it was 2-ounce bottles of vodka and gin. The auctioneer said it looked like he raided a bunch of mini bars. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Zyrtec, Zyprexa, Zyvox. Drug names, of course, difficult to pronounce, difficult to understand, and in desperate need of a vowel.
It's getting to be a little bit like the Slovak language. Difficult to pronounce, difficult to deal with.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the big business of naming drugs. We'll have the day's headlines as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.